Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week we want to talk about how to pass the baton, so to speak, how
right.
to get the family ready to receive those inheritance dollars that you've stored up for them. Wealth reception, the big term.
Yes.
Yeah, how does this work?
Well,
big subject.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of a unique perspective, but the idea of wealth reception means that we actually start, instead of from the creator's point of view, which is I have the money and I'm going to dictate how this is going to flow, that we start with a perspective from those who are going to receive the wealth. And are they ready to actually receive what you are going to hand off to them? Most individuals, statistically, will receive more wealth through an inheritance than by any other means. Mm-hmm. So therefore, many inheritors receive something that is larger than they've ever managed before. They receive something that they really don't have the skill set for, that they may have never really given solid thought about of how am I going to deal with this. And it kind of is almost a lottery mentality, which is now I receive this money, now I got to think about it, instead of helping them prepare in advance to take advantage of what is being handed to them in the proper way. So the perception of most estate planning is I've got it and I'm going to dictate it and I'm just going to give instructions, just get it to my kids. But I'm not so sure that that really aligns biblically with the perception of the father and the perspective of the father to say, I actually want to lay a strong foundation for families generationally, not just in a spiritual atmosphere, but also in a financial. And so imagine if I hand off something to my girls, so I have two daughters, and what would it be like for them if I were to hand off something to them that would allow them to not worry about finances for their entire life? Hmm. And would that potentially set them free to be able to think more about how do I serve the King of Kings more diligently? How do I put my attention towards the ability to bless others better? How do I turn my attention towards his service instead of the service or the servitude, if you would, of working for somebody else? What if the next generations could be set free to walk in their anointing and walk in their kingdom purpose without having to toil in this earthly system? What would that look like? And so there's the perception or the perspective, excuse me, the perspective of what does it mean to ask this question of wealth reception instead of actually from the creator's point of view, which is I'm now giving money away. And as a matter of fact, recently, I traveled down to California, and on my way back, I sat next to a younger couple, and we got into a conversation. It didn't take too long for the conversation to turn out that we were all believers, and I told him what I did, and the young lady looked at me, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I just lost a grandparent, but my grandparents gave me as their grandchild and all my siblings and my cousins part of their estate." And this was exactly what she said, as far as being, it's amazing to be set free, to be generous, instead of needing to worry about just where the next paycheck is going to come from. Mm. And she talked about she and her new husband's ability to purchase a home and the freedom that they have in that decision. So this is what I'm talking about, is that as we train up our children in the way they should go spiritually, then what if we were able to match that financially so that between the combination of spiritual training and financial training, we actually train the next generation, or even the generation thereafter of the grandchildren, to follow after the passion of God's kingdom and build his kingdom with what we are going to pass down. That's the perception of wealth reception.
Let me ask you your philosophy on the subject. I've seen in some people who don't believe in, even though they maybe have a large estate, they don't believe in passing that on to the kids because they think everybody should kind of make their own way. And
yeah.
And they don't believe in passing it on or keeping it in the family. They basically think, you know, I made it my own way and you're going to have to make it your own way and with no help from me.
Yeah.
Is that a Christian attitude, or is that what is that?
Well, I don't want to pass judgment on values that other people have. And could someone look into scripture and find the scripture that says, hey, those who don't eat, you know, don't work, don't eat, mm-hmm. right? And so that's something Paul penned. But yet the thought process in the New Testament, the entire New Testament's thought process is not that we work for our relationship with God. It's, yes, we work to enter into his rest, into what he has provided. But the entire philosophy of the New Testament is in a receivership mode, not a work mode. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting. Because you asked the question, I'm going to pull up a note here real quick as we're doing this live. So in Psalm 37:11, it says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and enjoy peace and prosperity." So now Jesus later uses this scripture in Matthew 5:5, the Sermon on the Mount, as that the meek shall inherit the earth, right? And so we have this dual scripture. So I looked at these two scriptures, and it's very, very interesting to me. In Psalms, that word to inherit means to go seize, to occupy, to drive out, and to make a possession of. In other words, it's very, very work-orientated. It is us standing up and pushing back the enemy and seizing what is rightfully ours. Mm. Okay, so we could look at that scripture. Now we come to the New Testament, where Jesus used it. And I believe that if there were scholars around him, of course, this was at the beginning of his ministry that he had the Sermon on the Mount, at least if we believe that in chronological order that that is true. So maybe the pious ones had not really come out in full force yet to challenge him. That tends to be more towards the end of his ministry. But still, but people would have been in his culture very familiar with this psalm and would have been very familiar, which is probably why he used it, but he used a different Greek word. So I find this absolutely fascinating, is that in the Sermon on the Mount, that word, the meek shall inherit, that means to receive, and to receive by an inheritance. Hmm. That's completely flipped on its head compared to what the psalmist penned. And what the word of that meant, which is go take, possess, kill, steal, and destroy.
Work.
Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to here, Jesus changed it and said, you are going to now receive. And I believe that there is some astounding truth in and why Jesus flipped this word to mean something very different in the New Testament. Because that's what he won at the cross. He won for us to inherit instead of go out and kill, steal, and destroy for possession. Now, we still do that in a spiritual sense in the heavenlies, but it's very different now with what the New Testament believer is. So I guess to wrap up your question, because it really is a valid and heartfelt question, I appreciate it, which is, what if one person believes that you are to go pull yourself up by your bootstraps and earn what you need? I don't want to produce trust babies and all this other stuff. Fine, right. Okay. I would honor and respect you. not a problem. Here's my heart. Go ask the Father. Go to your Heavenly Father and ask Him, what am I supposed to do with what you have given me? Let's not just make an assumption in our life. Let's not just, because this has been my philosophy or because I worked hard and because it built to be the man or the woman that I am today with the work that I did and I had to forge through small business or whatever your story is, or I've worked the land. And so whatever your story is, it's great. But my greatest encouragement always is go back to the heartbeat of the Father and ask Him, what do I do? I am willing to put myself aside, Father, so that you can tell me what I am to do. As a matter of fact, as believers, are we not to have the attitude that this is really not my possession to dictate and control? Really, it is everything was given to us because He and He alone gave us the ability to work and to gain wealth. As a matter of fact, that's the promise in Deuteronomy. But if that is true, then it all belongs to Him. And so my encouragement is, let's always have a humble, open heart to say, even though this is what I believe today, I'm willing to be moved by your voice, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, even if it's something different than who I've always been. You are greater than me, and you have been the one who's given it all into my hands. So therefore, I want what I have to bring you glory. And by that, I will submit. So there is my call. And by the way, that is if you are super generous, the Lord may actually call you to pull some of that back and be a little more stringent in the inheritance matter. So this can cut both ways. It's not against the person who says, I believe in pulling myself up by my bootstraps, but it could also be to the one who says, oh, I'm just going to give it to my kids and que sera, sera, they get to do whatever they want. Really? So both of these ideologies need to always come before the Father and submit ourselves fully unto Him so that we can hear His direction. I believe that that is the greatest call to action in the Word of God, is submit yourself to Him and listen to His voice and then respond, even if it may not feel exactly what you desired. Our servitude is to Him and Him alone. So let us submit ourselves to Him.
Well, within a creative estate plan, you can maybe kind of hit all of these.
Certainly can.
All of these priorities in your life. Maybe
yeah.
You can design your trust in a way that would kind of control how this money is given and under what circumstances, and all those things can be addressed.
Yeah, it can be.
We're talking about wealth reception, getting your next generation ready to receive what you will pass on to them with today's show. People are intrigued by your approach to these matters. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website. That's the best place to get information, legacyandfaith.com. And there's past podcasts, there's educational seminars that are coming up, workshops that we can guide you through. What does it mean to do this thing called estate planning? We need to educate you so you can make sure you have the right knowledge to take this step. And then there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, looking at wealth reception, preparing your people to receive what you have for them. And we heard a little bit of your heart there in the first half of the show today. Paul, is your perspective unique, do you think, in estate planning for how to handle this?
Well, on so many levels. Number one, how do you find an attorney and a believer? That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it, for an attorney? Joking aside, it really is unique because at Planning with Purpose, our firm, we really do take a different approach. We take an approach that is strategic and individualized. So what does that really mean? Why do I use those words? Most estate planners will use templated documents. And what that really means is that they're taking information from you. They're asking a few questions that may get to a few unique issues. But then ultimately, they have all the legal work. They have a standard document that they are going to then put your information into to create an estate plan. So what that means is that they're taking your family and they're putting your family into the law and forcing you into an already pre-designed look. Now, a lot of estate plans, unfortunately, if you leave the same law office, you took off the first page, which is usually where your names are going to be in your kids' names, and you took off the last page, which is your signatures, that the plan looks the same. But yet, are you exactly the same as your neighbor? Do you have exactly the same amount of kids, the same family dynamics, the same amount of wealth, the same family history, the same family values, goals, and perception? And the answer is absolutely not. We're all uniquely created. So then how can a standard template work for me and yet work for you, Mark, and then yet work for every person who's listening today? And my proposition is that it can't. And so we need to take time to work through the process properly in this thing called estate planning. So most estate plans start with the premise that you have to deal with your taxes first, because it's the legal structure. It's the document. The document is going to have predetermined legal issues and tax issues already within it. So therefore, that's the starting place for most estate planning attorneys. Then we're going to look at, well, what type of money do you have so that we can answer better the tax issue? Then we might actually ask questions about the family and, oh, yeah, by the way, let's make sure that we get all the names spelled right. This was really shown to me when I reviewed my in-laws' estate plan. This was years ago when I moved back to Seattle. So I started my legal career in Michigan and then moved back home. Pacific Northwest is home. My own entire family was here and my wife's parents were here. So we moved back after me completing law school, and I looked at my in-laws' plan, and my father-in-law's plan said, I leave all my stuff to, and then it had his name instead of his wife's name, because the attorney used a template and missed one of the places to flip the names.
Uh-oh.
So he left all of his stuff to himself.
Okay.
Now, I could probably get a judge to understand what took place by showing both wills and getting the attorney to sign off. Yeah, that's not what I meant. We meant to do it like this. But there it is. That's what the risk of using templates is, instead of actually having a strategic personalized plan. So in our system, we use what's called an estate planning pyramid, to where the foundation is about you. In other words, we have to take care of you first. We have to make sure that you, during your lifetime, you have all the documents necessary so that you are well protected as the creator. Then we want to find out about your family, because we've been talking about wealth reception. So if I don't know who the players are, if I don't know their strengths, their weaknesses, if I don't know how much they make, if I don't know their marriage situation, how many kids they have, are they good with finances at all? All of this plays a major role in me assisting a client in finding exactly what the right combination is in their estate plan to assist the next generation best. if we have someone who has addiction issues, do we want to just simply have a plan like every other plan that says, give them the money? Or if they're very poor at money management, by the way, that does not mean that they're a bad person. It just means they don't have a particular skill. Not everybody manages money well, because it's a skill and we're all created different. So they may be a phenomenal person at caring for others, but they may not have the skill set of actually managing money. Okay, that's fine. It's not a problem. It's not a negative. I just need to know so that we can set up a plan that will help them manage money should they receive more than they've ever received before, so that they can actually utilize what is given to them for long-term purposes, for kingdom purposes, or whatever your heartbeat is in leaving wealth to the next generation. So if we don't understand your needs, if we don't understand the needs, the strengths and the weaknesses of the next generation, then it's really impossible for me to create a plan that is going to work as it should. And that really, I believe, sets our firm apart from most others, which is how much time is spent by other attorneys in this sphere. I don't know, but I have a very sneaky suspicion by looking at the documents that roll across my desk that they spend very little time in asking about your family, other than the name, other than who are the kids, so that they can put them into a standardized template. Now, the last thing about the estate planning pyramid is that then when I know about you, when I know about the family, then we can worry about or consider how much you have. Then after we know that, we can actually use the law and wrap it around what your objectives are instead of throwing you into a template. So a very simple question, is this a unique perspective? Well, it's not just the biblical perspective that I bring, but yes, it's actually a unique perspective to estate planning as a whole, which is you greatly matter, and my first responsibility is to care and make sure that my clients are well prepared and well taken care of during their lifetime. Then my attention can shift to the family and how do we best serve them and take care of them long term with what you are going to give them, whether it's a little or a lot. We want to make sure that the plan is set up right, and we can't do it without understanding all the players.
Well, with wealth reception too, we want to be sure that the government doesn't receive more than it's due.
And that would be good.
And you deal with that quite a bit in your planning with tax issues.
Yeah.
Are trust taxes worse than individual taxes?
Well, if you read anything out in the marketplace, so if you go to the all-knowing Google. I say that tongue in cheek, of course, so you can't see my face that it's really not all knowing. So if you go out to Google and do searches on taxes and trusts, the initial things that you will find, the initial information will show that trusts have what we call a compressed tax rate. So what that means is that it has the same tax rates as an individual, but you get to them much, much faster. So for example, no matter how much you make, the first part of your income, there are low, low tax brackets that you are subject to. So if you don't make much, then you're not going to pay much tax, if any tax, right? Specifically mm-hmm. with exemptions. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with a trust. The very first part of the income is taxed very low. But it jumps to the next tax bracket much faster than an individual's earning power. So we call that compressed. So they're shrunk. So you move through the tax brackets faster and you get to 40% much, much faster. As a matter of fact, barely over $12,000 and you're at the highest tax bracket in a trust. Now, here's the misnomer is that a properly developed trust should be able to get taxes back out to the hands of the inheritor. So in other words, we should be able to utilize not just the tax bracket of the trust, but also the tax bracket of the inheritor and blend them together to come to the best conclusion. As a matter of fact, because we're using multiple tax bracket, what our math shows is that for 90 plus percent of our inheritors, that they will actually save income tax in each given year by utilizing a trust versus just giving it to them in their hands. So that's one tax issue is, can a trust save taxes in an income tax world when properly designed? Notice how I emphasize that. Mm-hmm. When properly designed, because
right.
most are not, then yes, taxes can be saved. And likewise, estate taxes, when it's properly designed, an estate tax should be able to be mitigated or completely eliminated from the estate planning picture. And so we're running out of time here today, but we'll take up this next show. We'll continue our conversation about wealth reception. I think it's a critical conversation that we continue. So let's pick up next show with more of this topic.
Okay. Interesting subject, how to pass on that wealth reception. And of course, all these programs available at legacyandfaith.com, the podcast there. People want to find out more about you. How do they do that?
Yeah, exactly what you just said, which is legacyandfaith.com. Head over there and there's more information. Workshops coming up. Please sign up. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.